Grace, mercy, and peace be yours, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When a Christian of another tradition walks into our service on Sunday morning, one of the things that they sometimes can be surprised by, sometimes appalled by, in fact, is when the pastor says, "I forgive you all your sins." Someone will say, "Well, how can this be? Isn't God the one who forgives sins? How can it be that this person, this human being, this sinner, is standing up there and claiming that he is forgiving sins? And after all, don't I go to God directly and confess my sins? Isn't that where I find forgiveness?" Why then does the pastor stand up here and forgive sins? Especially since a person who says that might be able to say, "Well, look, here in the Lord's Prayer, you say, 'Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.' You ask for the Lord's forgiveness. So, after all, look, you pray to God for forgiveness. Why do you have this other person there?" Well, the answer to that is found in the two readings that we had for tonight. There in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus speaks to Peter and says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That binding and loosing is the binding of sins to a person, or the loosing of sins from them, the release of them, the forgiveness of sins. Saying either your sins are on you, and you do not have forgiveness, or they are released from you and you have forgiveness. Jesus authorizes Peter here, but will authorize the entire church to do this. And we see this happen also in the second reading we had for tonight, from John chapter 20, where Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room after he has risen from the dead, the same day that he rose from the dead, and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." So Jesus gives authorization to his ministers to do this, to forgive sins. And so we go by Jesus' authorization and command here to forgive or to retain sins. And so this is why someone can stand up here, authorized to do it by Christ through the call of his church, placed into an office where he speaks the same word that Jesus commanded his apostles to speak: "I forgive you." And that's why the pastor doesn't just say, "I forgive you because I think you should be forgiven, but I forgive you in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. At my Lord's command, I forgive you. I stand in his stead, in his place, and forgive you. I speak his words as an authorized representative of Christ to give you this word of forgiveness that Jesus commands me to give to you upon your confession of sins." But still, someone might ask, "Well, why all of this? Why should we have this? Can't we just stick with the Lord's Prayer? I'll just confess my sins to God. What is the advantage of this, of having someone confess their sins and having the pastor give the absolution?" There are several reasons. The first of which, where we have to start, is that God uses means. He has chosen in Scripture, we see over and over again, that God uses people to announce his word of forgiveness, to give people his word and proclamation. For example, we heard a few weeks ago about David's sin with Bathsheba and how the prophet Nathan was sent to David. Could not God have spoken directly to David, given him a direct revelation? God chose to use the prophet Nathan to call David to repentance and then also to give him the word of forgiveness, to say the Lord has put away your sin. And then there's the example of Cornelius. And here, an angel actually appeared to Cornelius and spoke to him. But it's interesting that the angel didn't give him the whole story right there. Didn't tell him everything about Jesus and tell him to believe in Jesus right then and there. And announce to him the forgiveness of his sins right there. But instead tells him to go and send for a sinful human being. For Peter. And tells him to go and find this Peter. And Peter is to come to him. And announces to him the good news of Jesus Christ. God uses means. He uses sinful human beings. And then we have the fact that Jesus has his apostles receive his word. And he sends them out. And the Holy Spirit is going to remind them of what he said. And then they write down the New Testament. Why didn't Jesus just write it down and then hand them the book? Instead, he authorizes people to write down his words, to preach and proclaim what he has said, to announce his forgiveness. He uses means. We see over and over again that our Lord uses sinful human beings, people, flesh and blood, to announce to one another the forgiveness of Jesus. He has us proclaim to our friends and neighbors and relatives what Jesus has done. Announce to them the forgiveness that Christ has won for them. And we continue to do so. And then the church also authorizes someone to do that publicly. But why is this a good idea? Why is it a good idea to have someone do this publicly? Well, there are several reasons that God would use these means, these public means of giving out his forgiveness. For one thing, it is good for us to know what sin really is. Sometimes we can feel guilty about something that isn't really a sin. The devil attacks us and accuses us and makes us feel guilty for things that are not actually sin, according to the Word of God. And in those times, we need the clarity of what the Word of God says, and to understand where we actually have sinned, where we actually have gone astray. Hear the Lord's Word and His call to repentance. And He uses other people to do this. And sometimes we don't even know what our sin is. Sometimes we don't feel guilty and we are blind to our sin. And God uses means, the means of his church, to call us to repentance. Last week we heard a reading from Matthew 18, two chapters after our reading from Matthew for tonight, where Jesus talks about the process for addressing sin in the church. That one individual goes to another who is in some sort of sin and calls them to repentance, then brings someone else along if the person does not repent, and then brings it to the church in the hopes that the person will repent. God uses his people to call others to repent of sin, to believe in Jesus, so that they might receive his forgiveness. But there are yet other reasons why we want to have these authorized representatives who are authorized by Jesus to speak his word through the call of his church. The other is so that we can have the certainty of God's forgiveness. There are sins that we may have confessed over and over again that still trouble us and bother us, where we still feel guilty, that are still down there in the deepest, darkest corners of our hearts and of our memory. And in those times when we are reminded of those sins, and the devil wants to remind us again and again and again of what we have done, what we have said, what we have thought, we want to have the certainty that it was forgiven. To not only have confessed it out loud to God, as we can do in any of our prayers, and we should do daily. Daily contrition and repentance is part of the Christian life. But also for those specific sins that trouble us and burden us, to have the word then spoken to us. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray on the basis of God's command, and we should believe and trust that when we confess our sins and we say, "Forgive us our trespasses," our Lord does forgive our trespasses. But our Lord also wants to speak to us back. He wants to respond. And He has shown us a way in which He responds to us. He speaks back to us through His Word. And through His Word proclaimed and said and declared to us by the body of Christ, by our fellow believers in private and also publicly through one called by that church, by the body of Christ, to speak that Word. So that we can be certain. We can be certain that those sins that seem so bad and so terrible are actually washed away. They are covered with the blood of Jesus. And that someone has spoken at Jesus' command, and that they are Jesus' very words to us, that our sins, that your sins, are forgiven. But there is a deeper issue here at work. When someone questions the forgiveness giving out, and comes here and wonders why it is that we are doing this, why are we forgiving sin? And it goes back to why we're here. You see, sometimes people think that they're going to church perhaps just to learn something, to be educated about who God is and what His Word says and how we are to live. And certainly we learn those things. We hear those things. But that's not all that we come for. And others might think, well, I go to church for a sort of therapy. When I need to feel good. And it's true that God does give us something. But it may not always be the case that you feel it. In fact, some days you may not feel anything. But you don't rest your hope and your confidence on your feelings. You rest your hope and your confidence on Jesus' Word. And so when you come to church, you can have confidence and certainty that Jesus is giving you His forgiveness and saying your sins are forgiven because God has declared it to be so. He has said it is true that your sins, in fact, are forgiven, are washed away, that you're a child of God, that you belong to Him, that you have His favor and His love. Even though Satan still is there trying to accuse you and to say that you have sinned in such a terrible way that it can't be possible that God forgives you. That Satan says, oh, you don't feel any different, so therefore you must not really be forgiven. And at these things, we can throw the word of God at Satan and say, Satan, you're wrong. Because God says it, it's true. Even if I don't feel it, God says it. And therefore, I am forgiven because of what Jesus did for me on the cross and because Jesus authorized that forgiveness be spoken and given out. And so we have to understand when we come to church, it isn't just to learn, it isn't just to have a good feeling. We come to church to hear the Word of God that actually creates a reality, that actually does something, that is powerful. The Word of God, that Scripture says, does not return void, but goes forth and accomplishes that which He desires. Just as the rain waters the earth and causes it to become green, to bring forth and sprout, the Word of God accomplishes something. And the Word of God that you hear in this place when He says, your sins are forgiven, when He says, this is my body, this is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, you believe and trust. You can put all of your eggs in that basket. You can put all the stock in that. That Jesus forgives those sins and it actually happens. No matter how much you feel you've learned or how you feel about it when you walk out the door. You know that God has done that work. And that's what you're coming to church for. And so when someone asks you that, asks you, why are they giving out this forgiveness? You say, because church is a place where Jesus authorizes people to forgive my sins, to give me the comfort and the assurance and the certainty that my sins are indeed forgiven. So I know what my sin is, and so that it can be washed away. And my Lord actually accomplishes that work. This is what he does for me here, and what he does for us as a body, the body of Christ. He brings us here to forgive our sins. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.